Good evening. Let me pray. Lord, I just pray tonight that through your word, God, that every impression that you want to make on our minds, on our hearts, God, that we would be open to that, Lord, that we'd be open to being changed by you. Not only for our sake, Lord, but for your glory. And God, we pray that you would give us a message, Lord, of who you are to share with others. God, we pray that your kingdom would be built in this place, in this community, God, that we would be living out our mission, God, to be here for the good of the community as we share Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Christianity is a relationship with God that is based on miracles. Christianity is a relationship with God that is based on miracles. The living God, unlike statues, false gods made of clay or stone, or idols that we have in our life, that the living God actually performs a miracle at salvation, giving us new birth. For the last few weeks, we've been focusing on some of the great, well-known miracles of Jesus and during his time on earth, and we've found ourselves in some of the accounts and the people that he interacted with and the situations and impacted by the truth of God's word. I've titled the message tonight, which is going to be the last message in the series, I've titled this Touched by an Angel. Do you guys, anybody ever used to watch that show back in the day, Touched by an Angel? Okay, this has nothing to do with that. Maybe a little, but I think that probably for most of this message, you're not going to get why I named it that. I would guess. I wouldn't probably get why I would name it that. But I think towards the end of the message, you're going to understand it, the significance of it. So we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 25. If you want to go ahead and turn there, you can. We'll have the slides for that. Mark 5, 25. We're going to be looking tonight at the healing of a woman who had an issue of blood and the miracle that happens. And this miracle is kind of neat because it takes place actually within the context of another miracle going on. I just want to give you kind of an overview of that miracle too. There was a man named Jairus, is how I've always pronounced it. There's actually, I know the Greek for his name, and it would be a miracle if I pronounced it correctly. So I'm really thankful for English because it's a lot easier to pronounce our words than Greek. But Iros, I think, is how it's pronounced in Greek. So it's pretty close. But anyway, easy for me to say. Jairus was the ruler of a synagogue, and he came and he fell at the feet of Jesus, and he asked Jesus for something. He asked Jesus if he would come and heal his daughter. She's 12 years old and she's dying. And Jesus is going to go and do this. He's going to go help this girl. And there's all this crowd of people that are just impressing upon him. And it was then that this woman who has this issue of blood, she touches Jesus, actually touches his clothes, and she's healed. And then word comes that Jairus's daughter was dead, but we know that Jesus raised her from the dead. So I think tonight we're going to see that some truths that God has for us maybe under the surface here with this miracle, starting in Mark 5:25. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. The first thing I'd like to recognize is the obvious thing here, which is that this woman who goes up and touches Jesus in this crowd of people had heard about him. She must have. It's fairly obvious. She had heard something about who he is. She had heard some things about what he had been done. And what she heard had inspired her to action, to do something very much out of her comfort zone. Now, this woman, we don't know a lot about her. There's some legends that aren't from Scripture, so we don't know if it's true or not. According to some legends of the church, her name was Veronica. And according to legend, she was somebody who was on that path as Jesus was going to be crucified at Golgotha, that she was actually one of the people along the path there and gave him a handkerchief to wipe the blood and the sweat from his face to help him continue on. But she'd heard of Jesus. So what has she heard? Well, if we look back chronologically at the chapters preceding this, there's some things that we can guess that she probably heard. Jesus had raised Simon Peter's mother-in-law from her sickbed. He'd cleansed a leper. He'd raised the son of a widow of Nain. He had cast out demons. He'd been on a ship on a lake and calmed a storm. And this woman, in all likelihood, she'd probably heard about all these things. And she felt convinced that if she could get to Jesus, something good would happen for her. She'd heard these testimonies from other people that he could heal. And she thought, if I can just get to Jesus, I can be healed. You know, hearing about Jesus inspired her to have hope. This is a woman who'd had the same condition every day. From when she got up in the morning to when she went to bed, she'd sought all the medical attention, and not only was she downcast just from having this condition, but she'd spent all her money and got no relief from the doctors at all. So she's broke. There's nobody that can help her, she thinks, but she hears about Jesus, and hearing about Jesus has given her hope. I want to bring that into our daily lives for just a minute. There are people around us constantly in our community who do not have hope, who desperately need to hear about Jesus. Because hearing about Jesus brings hope. One of the reasons why God led us to call this Here's Hope was that apart from Christ, we can do nothing, right? We have no hope. There is no hope for us apart from Jesus Christ. Now, a slogan that I like, I don't think we've ever used this anywhere, but I just, everybody out there needs hope. And I think, something to the effect of, you need hope, and we have Jesus, so we need to hang out together. That's kind of our invitation to the culture. You may not understand the whole thing with salvation yet, or the identity of Jesus yet, but let us tell you that you know that you need hope, and we're telling you Jesus has got it. So why don't you hear more about him? And as people hear about Jesus, as they hear about who he is in your life and what he's done in your life, it inspires people that didn't have any hope at all to start believing, maybe there's hope for me. Maybe there's hope for me. And that hope, God uses that to empower people to start having a little bit of trust, a little faith, just enough, maybe a mustard seed of faith to reach out to Christ. Verse 28. She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the crowd, the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Another thing, another truth that we can take from this story is that this woman who reached out and touched Jesus and was healed had imperfect faith. She had very imperfect faith, but it didn't, that wasn't the main thing. The main thing is who she had faith in, not how perfect her faith was or how much understanding she had. His cloak didn't have anything to do with anything. As far as healing, it was Jesus who heals. But she had a mustard seed of faith in Jesus, and that faith led her to take action. It led her to take action. And Jesus asked, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples, they're thinking, Jesus is talking about this huge crowd of people here crushing against him. But the word here that Jesus used in the Greek, it means to lay hold of, to grasp, not just to touch. It wasn't like somebody just bumping against him, and Jesus is like, "Hey, who's bumping into me?" He's saying, "Who laid hold of me? Who had a hold of my clothes?" And most likely, it was a tassel. In that time, part of the clothing for the men, they would have a tassel that hung down. You can read about that in Numbers 15. But in their garments, the Lord had actually instructed Moses for the people to have tassels on their garment to remind them to follow God's instructions. And so this was part of that attire that they would wear. And this woman thought that the healing perhaps would come from the garment because she touched the garment. She reached out and touched his clothes. And even though she had an imperfect understanding here and her faith wasn't perfect, there was this healing coming from Jesus. Her understanding wasn't doctrinally perfect. Her theology wasn't perfect. Her faith wasn't perfect. But the important thing was who her faith was in, not how perfect her faith was. And that her faith was real faith. Because real faith leads us to take action. And she took action. I think sometimes as Christians, we have a hard time differentiating between false faith and real faith. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. James in particular says quite a bit about it, about real faith and false faith. I want to give you an illustration that might help with that. I've shared this before. This may be the last time I share this illustration. But it's a good one, I think. I want you to imagine, and it's easier now that we had some snowflakes coming down, if you saw those earlier. Imagine with me it's wintertime. And you live in a cabin in the mountains. And around you on three sides is a dense pine forest. And just to the east, outside your front door, right outside, is this big, beautiful mountain lake that's frozen over. And you wake up in the morning and you smell smoke. And you realize, that's not my fireplace. This is something different. And you get up and you go outside and you realize there's a forest fire. And it's all the way around. There's nowhere to go other than to that lake. But there's been warm days and cool nights and warm days and cool nights, and you're not sure how thick that ice is. But you realize that if you stay where you are, you will die in the fire, for sure. There's no way you're going to survive where you are. And so even though you're not quite sure, your faith isn't strong necessarily, you run out across that ice because it's the only exit you have. It's the only safety there is. And fortunately for you, the ice is thick. And it's plenty thick enough to hold your weight. Even though your faith wasn't great faith, and it wasn't perfect faith, what matters is what your faith was in, which was something that was able to save you. The important thing is who our faith is in, that it is in the person of Jesus and that Jesus is able to save, and that our faith is real. So you could sit in your cabin and say, "I believe that that ice can save me." But if you don't get up and run like your life depends on it, you're going to die. No matter how much you say you believe in the ice's ability. I think there are a lot of people who have an intellectual belief in Jesus, but they remain unchanged. Their life looks the same. They say that they believe in him, but they're not running to him. They're not running from anything, from their sin or from death or from slavery or brokenness of who they've been. They're just trying to have an insurance policy and saying, yeah, I believe that. And yet they never run to him. And they never escape the fire. In Leviticus 15, there's a lot of detailed instructions about clean and unclean. And specifically in Leviticus 15, 19 through 27, it talks a lot about being careful in issues of blood, dealing with blood. Specifically to deal with a regular flow of blood that women have and how that's to be treated. And in those times, ritually, a woman had to be separated, segregated during that time of the month until the bleeding ceased. This woman's bleeding didn't stop for 12 years. 12 years. 12 years of being ostracized. 12 years of not being allowed to go worship with other people. 12 years of not being allowed at the synagogue. 12 years of being untouchable and unclean. Her pain went way beyond whatever her physical condition and the financial condition and the hopelessness of doctors not being able to help her. She was outcast, and this was ongoing for her. She was shut out by society. I mean, inside, she must have felt like she was dying every day. But Jesus. Nobody. Because if anybody touched her, they'd be considered unclean too. Nobody would hang out with her. No one would hug her. But this woman found out that Jesus had time for her and treated her differently. Verse 33, then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, and this is a term of love, of affection, endearment, daughter, my child, daughter, your faith has healed you. Not because faith in itself does that. If Jesus wasn't able to save and heal, nothing would have happened. But he's saying, because your faith in me, Jesus is saying, is real. It's real enough to compel you to come into a place where you, among people who shun you and treat you like a second-class person, and you dare to come here and reach out in faith and lay hold of me because your faith is genuine, you are healed. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. This woman who touched Jesus had been hopeless for 12 years. But she had the spark of hope that if I can just reach out, if I can just touch Jesus, I'll get healed. And she found out that not only was she healed, but Jesus called her daughter. He took time to talk to her, to speak with her, to relate to her and have a conversation in a way that no one else would. Especially a rabbi. Especially somebody that was a leader. But he took time for her. And I think it's important to remember that because there are times that we feel unworthy. That we feel like, you know what? I'm disliked by this person. I'm spoken badly of by this other person. These friends don't hang out with me anymore. I've failed in this area, you know, with whatever it is. Jesus' love is not negated by any of that. That he still wants us to come to him and spend time with him. And he still says son or daughter to us. You know, there are people who will treat you, for whatever reason, like you've got something incurable. And maybe you guys have some people like that in your life. I do. I've got people who I know hate me just because they know I love Jesus. They've told me as much. And for other reasons. I've had people also say that they hate me because of things I did before I knew Jesus. And I deserve it. But Jesus heals all those wounds. He's the great physician, and he wants to do a miracle of healing in our life. He wants to help us to feel accepted and loved. Philippians 4:19 tells us, "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." You know, whatever the gap is, whatever the need is, whatever the thing is, that insufficiency in your life, you can reach out and lay hold of him by faith, and he meets those needs. He meets those needs. Continuing in verse 33, "Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth." She spoke. She told him the whole truth. "And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering.'" I think it's interesting here that by Jesus calling her out, he put her in a position where she had to publicly confess Jesus. She had to publicly tell the truth of what Jesus had done for her. You know, she's thinking, because she knew she'd been healed, "I've touched him. Wow, it worked. I've got my healing. I'm gone." You know, she's got her blessing, and she's thinking, "Now I can just go enjoy my blessing. It doesn't have to get uncomfortable. I can just leave." And she tries to sneak away without there being any fuss. And a lot of us, unfortunately, we get hung up on not wanting people to ever think we make a fuss about anything. But Jesus asks, "Who touched my clothes?" And the question is meant to make her publicly acknowledge Jesus, that he was the one who had given her this blessing. You know, Jesus knew. He knew who it was. But he was giving her an opportunity, and he knew that a soul who was desperate and hurting and suffering had reached out to him in faith. But this woman needed more than she realized. She needed more than being cured. As awesome as that is, it's amazing that Jesus, just like that, she's healed. She needed to be a confessor of who Jesus is. As do you and me. She comes forward and she fell at his feet and told him the whole truth. Not only him, everybody around as well can hear this. And Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering." She reached out in faith. She dared to reach out in faith, and she found healing. She found courage. It says she was afraid, but she spoke up. She found peace. I believe she found adoption into God's family. She believed, and then she confessed. If you are a born-again follower of Jesus, here's what God's Word says about confessing Christ before others, to you and to me. "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels." So flip that in the positive. What he's saying is, be unashamed. Be unashamed. Be a confessor of who I am. Be a confessor of everything I've done in your life. Live boldly and live courageously and tell people who I am. Confess Jesus Christ for everything that he has done and for all that he is in your life. Confess him to other people. You know, if Jesus has done anything in your life, hopefully, first and foremost, salvation. But even beyond that, 1,000 other times, things he's saved you from or spared you from or blessings he's brought into your life, healing that he's done in who you are in your heart. I mean, just it's just endless. The blessings of God, all of those things are to be on our lips. All of those things we need to boldly confess to other people. If he has dealt with your mess, you have a message of who he is. So I said earlier in the message that I thought you would come to a point where you would understand the title, Touched by an Angel. So I'm hoping this is the point. I'm hoping that at this point you'll get it. The Greek word that we translate as angel, agelo, literally means in Greek, it means messenger. It means a messenger of God. It means somebody who has a message from God. Guess what, believers? You have a message from God. If God has done anything in your life, you have a message that, for a reason, to give to other people, to confess Jesus Christ to other people of who he is and what he's done in your life. No, you don't have wings and you're not flying around in the throne room. You're not that kind of angel. That's different. It's a different species altogether. But you are an angel in the sense that you're a messenger. We are messengers on purpose. He saves you. Part of the reason he saves us is that we will confess him, that we will speak of his goodness and who he is, that we will be, as he touches our life and we lay hold of the Savior by faith, touched by an angel. Every time that you go to God in prayer and you lay hold of him by faith and he answers that prayer and gives you a message, he's been touched by a messenger. Because he's giving you that message. And answering whatever that prayer is, he's giving you a message. Don't dare stay quiet about it. Tell people. You need to tell someone. So tonight, if you are a born-again follower of Jesus, I want to invite you to confess Jesus out loud with me right now. This is in your bulletins. If you want to look in your bulletin, you can. It's also going to be on the screen here. Yeah. Full confession on my part. 50% of this I stole from a slide Brad sent me from another church. Thought, man, that's awesome. It was from the Lord, too. It fit perfect, but we adapted it for us tonight. But you know, we need to be in the habit of confessing Jesus. You know, I'll just own it. I know there's plenty of times I'm way too timid. But I need to just let that fly, who Jesus is and what he's doing in my life today. And people can think I'm a lunatic all they want. I don't care. Or I shouldn't. You know, we need to be in the daily habit of being angels, of being messengers for Christ. Would you say this out loud with me? Because of who Jesus is and what he has done, I am a deeply loved, fully forgiven, completely accepted child of God. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will accept the assignment of the kingdom of God, which is to love God, love my neighbor, and share the gospel. Lord, empower me to love well. Guide me to share your word with the people of my city. Amen. Amen. Now, everybody that darkens the door of a worship gathering is not necessarily saved. So, if you are not a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, here's what God's word says about you confessing Christ. From Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth, and you got to mean it from your heart, Jesus is Lord, you believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. But it's not just an intellectual thing. It's not just sitting in the cabin smelling smoke and thinking about how nice that ice is, that it could save you. It means running to him. That you've got to take the action of faith. You've got to flee sin and flee death and run to the Savior. And confess him. Publicly confess Jesus. If there is anybody that that applies to tonight, confess him now. Confess him now. Put your trust in Jesus, the only one who can save you, the only one who can heal you, the only one who can make you whole. And I promise you, if you do that, if you put your trust in Christ, you will find out what every person who's ever genuinely put their faith in Jesus, you're going to expect a miracle, because it's going to happen. You will be changed. You will be changed by that. If you have real faith in Jesus, you're going to find out that he's everything he says he is. I just want to, worship team, if you want to come on back up, I'm not going to do as I often do an end in prayer. I just want to invite anybody, if you have not confessed publicly Jesus Christ, if you've never just said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, I believe he died and rose again, I believe that he paid for my sins, and you've never done that in your life, I want to encourage you to come up to the altar and confess that out loud during this last song.